We'll go ahead and open up to Romans 8 again. The 8:30 service, be here lately. The Lord is, again, I'm going to review just quickly to get our minds going down this same path again. For years, He took us down the born-again trail, and there's probably more information that we're going to learn on that path. But Dave's question to God at the time, you know, I mean, he says, Lord, we don't argue with you. These verses are in the Bible. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Lord, none of us are going to call you a liar. I mean, we agree with you. And we see a few things happening, Lord, but like if we were to look again at Matthew 15, like we have been, you don't have to turn there today, but great multitudes came, and they brought the blind and the lame and the deaf. And how about the maimed, those that were missing legs or missing arms or hands? And it just says they brought them and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And they're getting to be my favorite words in the Bible. And He healed them. Glory to God. So Dave's question is, Lord, because Jesus says, those same works, the same works I do, you're going to do also, and even greater than these. And so the question was, Lord, we're not going to argue with you. We agree that those words are in there, what you said, but Lord, that there's a big difference between knowing that those scriptures are there and the doing of them. In fact, it seems like that journey from knowledge to doing seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes. We die and don't ever really, and it's not like we don't see anything. We do. I mean, I've seen miracles in this very church. Sue and I have seen miracles on the road. But what about all the wheelchairs that they wheel back out after the service? 2 years ago, I was sitting in Seoul, Korea, at Yeonji Cho's church. Would you all call that a fair church? At the time, I don't know if it still is, but at the time, it was the biggest church in the world. And they have services. I mean, that place seats, I forget now, 10,000, I think, something like that. And it just, I mean, the Koreans are a very efficient people. And that design of that building is very well done. And I mean, in about 20 minutes, they can empty the thing out and bring the next crowd in. You know, they have those all day. I don't know if it's every day of the week, but on Sunday, they start before dawn. And about every 2 hours, another 10,000 comes in. Yeonji, Pastor Cho, is in his 70s now. So he only does the first 3 or 4. He only ministers to about 40,000. Then he has people that he's trained. I didn't get to go till like 3 in the afternoon. And I knew the service was going to be in Korean. You know, I said, I don't care. I'll still be able to tell if God's there. And He was. And even in that service, you could tell they had an altar call, had people stand. And even then, there's probably a half a dozen to a dozen got born again in that service. 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. And the Holy Spirit was teaching me many things. I was just there to taste the atmosphere and to learn and listen to the Holy Ghost. But He brought my attention to a section that's kind of over to the side, kind of back underneath the balcony where it's not real obvious. I'm not saying they were trying to hide it, but it wasn't right up front either. And it's the wheelchair section. And they're known for miracles there. I mean, they have miracles. But He said, now just watch. And at the end of the service, the vast majority of them, they wheeled them right back out the same way they wheeled them in. He said, even there, son, He said, don't stop praying in tongues. There's still more mysteries to be understood. Because even there, progress, there's more improvement to be made. It's not His will that even one of those go back home the same way they came. We're pressing towards that mark. Amen. Well, so again, the reason I'm reviewing this, talking about this, is we have to understand the born-again trail. What God told Dave, he says, listen, all those, the answer to that question and all the other questions that you have, like, how do we make that journey? He says, they're all on this trail. The answers to those questions are on this born-again trail. So at first, you know, we were all getting free from religion. In fact, come to find out, you're really not still just an old sinner saved by grace. Yeah, you were an old sinner, even Mary. Can you imagine Mary Corbett? I mean, that's hard for my mind to wrap around. But she was a sinner. And religion would have her think she still is, only forgiven. That is Old Testament salvation. That is exactly what they received. Before the cross, they couldn't receive a new nature. So that's the difference. Going down the born-again trail, we're not still that same old person that spawned from the first man, Adam. You have been born again, and that life that's on the inside of you is spawned from the last man, Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. At this point, like I say many times, we ought to lock the doors, close all the windows, because meetings like this are for aliens only. We really are. You're an invader from another world. Your home planet, the life that's in you, did not originate on this planet. Your home is heaven. And you're on temporary loan here to be a vessel used by the life of Jesus, anointed by the Holy Ghost, to seek and to save more descendants of Adam who are born lost. Amen? You're dismissed. I mean, that's the understanding from the born-again trail. Well, now, but here on these services where he's having me teach this series right now, he says, but even if you come to fully understand that, and even to the point where you've let... Yes, sir, that brings us to our scripture, which is Romans 8:14. Again, this is our launching pad. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And again, you notice how it has a capital S there, meaning the translators thought this meant those that are led by the Holy Spirit. And there is a leadership by the Holy Spirit. But one of the things we learned going down the born-again trail, the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans chapter 8 is verse 16, where it says the Spirit, and that should be capital S, the Holy Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, little s. They got it right there. That's the first time the Holy Spirit's mentioned. So in verse 14, now there is a leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. But see, you're not really ready for that. You're not mature for that until you first mature into verse 14. Because what that's talking about, those, as many as are led by the new nature, they are the mature sons of God. Dave summarized that revelation one time, just I don't think he even intended to. He was just teaching really on something else. I remember where he was. He was coming down off the platform, walking just about, he was right about here. And to me, it seemed like he pointed right at my nose. I'm sure he wasn't. But it was like he pointed right where I was sitting. And he says, now you do know that before Jesus can conquer your city, he first has to conquer you. I don't know what else he said during the whole service. I died right there. I was going, oh my God. That's Romans 8:14. You're not really ready to participate maturity-wise in the family business. At first, that new nature has got to conquer you. It's got to conquer you first. I want to win this city. Will you go pray? No. I want you to give your money away to the poor. No. I want you to forgive that person that was real ugly. No, I'm going to sue them. You're a ways from revival. But he said, we first got to be there before you're even really a candidate. Now again, I take a sidebar. Except for the gifts of the Spirit. The only way that God can use you in that condition where you're still a baby, and I hate to use that phrase, but didn't Paul use it with the Corinthian church? You're just babies. I'd like to give you meat. I can't. He says, you're not even now able to bear it. I can't even give you meat now. All I've been able to give you is milk. You bottle sucking, diaper needing, changing, split, divided, competitive bunch. Yet you come behind in no gift. But that's the very book where we find the vast majority of our information about the gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because that's the only way God could use them. He couldn't give them any resident anointing. They'd be out selling their anointing for $300 a prophecy. You say, well, I know somebody doing that now. And that is the problem. It's brought all kinds of scandal on the body of Christ, where people think there isn't nothing to it. Well, there is something to it. God this time around is going, I'm going to raise up some mature sons and daughters. Some people that are actually transformed into the same image. Like 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that, say it with me, same image. Same image. Not diminished. Not some rough approximation. Same image. That means you're going to think like him. You're going to have the same motivations he has. You're going to have the same feelings about money that he has. You're going to have the same heart. Absolutely, totally knowing who you are. You reckon he knew he was his father's son? And yet totally yielded to the will of his father. God's raising up a group that's going to really be mature. Hi, baby. Mwah. Sue's here. Glory to God. I feel better. Anyway, I feel the anointing. Lord, no. I was telling my friend who's visiting, Andrew, who's visiting us from Belize, and I told him I was carrying in her books even though she wasn't here. I said, look, I started carrying that woman's books in the 8th grade. I'm still carrying them today. Glory to God. It's a good thing to carry Sue's books. Hallelujah. Lord, help me get back to the message now. 30 years, all these years later, she still takes me away when I see her. It's amazing, you know. Hallelujah. That's my suit. That's my suit. Hallelujah. So anyway, maturity. Did he make his point? He's trying to raise up a group of people who are mature in the things of God so that we don't wind up merchandising the anointing. He'd like to have some people that operate with some resident anointings, not just the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus didn't want, and again, I know I'm saying these things over and over. We got to hear them over and over till we get this. He didn't wake up in the morning and saying, oh, I hope the gifts of healing are working in me today. Because you know how the gifts operate. It's as the Spirit wills. He may use Marinelle in a gift of healing today. And Dave talks about the first time God ever used him in a really the supernatural gift of healing. It was a ministry trip to Mexico. And he said that first day, it's everybody he prayed for got healed. It was so powerful. The throng was just pressing on him. He barely escaped with his life. And he's in his hotel or wherever he was that night, thinking, I have arrived. It's a good thing that Mexico had me come. Now I'm exaggerating a little bit, but Dave's trying to get this point across. I am obviously God's man of power for the hour. Can't hardly wait till that next service tomorrow. As the Spirit wills. Next day, same place, same group of people, same Dave. Wasn't the same anointing. Praying on people, hardly anything happened. He said, they got to looking at him like he's withholding from them. Now he's trying to escape with his life for another reason. You know. And what's going on there? The Lord was telling him, saying, look, I hope I'm getting this right, but the Lord says, that's going to come back. And when it comes back, it's going to stay. Wow. Now that was a long time ago. But I see it now, what the Lord was talking about. After the born-again trail, after maturity, he says, if I give it to you too soon, it will destroy you. See? Or how many has it destroyed in the past? Bring disgrace on the body of Christ? Anyway, Jesus didn't operate like that. He would walk, you know, like hoping the gifts of the Spirit would manifest today. He'd walk up and he'd basically offer you a menu. He'd say, what is it you'd have me do for you? In other words, all that my Father has is available. What do you need? You looking forward to that day? Man, I am looking forward to that day. Well, so now, I guess enough of the review for now. So the main qualifying thing here is Romans 8:14. How yielded are we to the new nature? And in the exact proportion that we have yielded our lives to the new nature, to that same exact degree, we are ready for, how do you put it, resident anointing in the family business, which is the kingdom of God, which is souls, okay? Qualified. Now, the last service that I did, I think that was one that we called the highest order of reality. And one of the things we talked about there was receiving instructions from the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read this passage. And again, it's probably just me. Probably nobody else in here has ever had any trouble receiving instructions from the Holy Ghost. But then if that's the case, then I wonder why one of the most common questions we get asked, I need God's wisdom. Could you pray that I'd hear from God? You know, I think there might be a few others. So one day while I was in prayer, and again, I'm just going to quote this part from this is one of the face-to-face documents. This one's called The Highest Order of Reality. See if this hits home with anybody. Excuse me. I'm going to put Gary here because obviously he's talking about me and not you. He says, Gary, you're having trouble receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ, in part because you're expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. When His instructions come, they come in such a manner, the Holy Ghost is talking, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problems. You are still expecting His instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions shall come in such a manner that they will allow me to move, says the Spirit of grace. Simply continue to sit and to listen to my counsel, and you will receive these instructions. All right, that was September the 9th of 1998. What was the last thing he said to me there? Simply continue to sit and listen. 3 days later, sitting and listening, he started teaching me about what I call the scourging post. How many of you have read that? Scourging post. You still alive? Barely. He said barely. 3 days later. See, because I was expecting instructions. I don't know what I was expecting, but he's so right. You need to schedule a meeting here and go deliver this city from whatever. You know, you need to go empty out the hospital with all the children in it. See, I'm expecting all these kind of instructions. And he wants to talk to me about fasting. Lord, can't we just have revival and you leave me alone? He goes, I've done that in the past and I'm not doing it this time. Although the gifts of the Spirit are still there, that's all there is to operate with, but the quest he has us on, the mission he has the prayer center on is a different path. It's a more excellent way, Paul calls it, to minister. So again, I'm going to read a portion of this. It's too long to read all of it. And I'm just going to lead you through in kind of the same way that he led me. And I told you I've left enough embarrassing stuff in these on purpose. I'd rather be transparent and you be helped than you to think I'm something that I'm not. Fair enough? So I did in this one especially. Now he starts off, he was nice to me, you know. He starts off so nice. Did you ever notice with Paul's letters sometimes, you know, he'll start off, even with the Corinthians, you come behind in no gift. The whole world talks about this. And then just by chapter 3, you baby bunch. I can't. Anyway, the Holy Spirit says, base not your value, your worth, nor your productiveness in the kingdom on those things which we shall discuss this day, says the Spirit of grace. He's bracing me. I knew right away I was in trouble. I knew right away. Oh, no. For the Lord your God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You have been, he's talking to me. He's blessing me here. You have been very diligent to walk in the light that you have had up to this point. And with that diligence, the Lord is pleased. How many of you know I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop? Okay. He says, you are simply changing realms of operation now. You are stepping above the realm of the work of man to the realm of the work of God. This is a time of correction and a time of reordering the steps that have led somewhat astray from His perfect will for your life. Receive this as a son entering maturity now, who can forsake the childish things of the past and begin to walk as a son of maturity in the true work of God, which is by the Spirit and by the Spirit only. Time out. One of the previous messages, remember when he said, from heaven's point of view, unless the Holy Spirit has been released to move, unless He moves, there has been no ministry. Unless God gets involved in this, we're just playing church. Okay? Picking this back up again, paragraph 3, he says, you have used the talents and the equipment, the associations and the knowledge which the Lord has given you to minister to the sheep at a level where you have felt comfortable and safe. You should know that comfort and safety are not normally hallmarks of those who choose to walk in the perfect will of the Lamb. You have used the tape ministry somewhat as a veil in order to deliver the truth into the homes of many people. I told you it's embarrassing. While at the same time keeping secret your failings and weaknesses of the flesh. To walk in this low level of His acceptable will for your life, you have used the tape ministry as a cloak of anonymity. Whatever she said, the professor. See, my first clue that some of this may really be from the Holy Ghost is when I have to go look up the words. I'm pretty sure they're not coming out of my mind, okay? I can't even say this. To hide those, I'm using it as, but I know what it means. I do know what it means, even when I'm using it as a cloak to hide behind. See? To hide those things which you know would destroy the confidence of many if they knew. Aren't you glad he's talking about me and not you? People, they'll ask me, what's he talking about there? He's talking about Nunya. What's none of your business? I'm not asking you about your stuff, am I? You telling me you're the same always at home? You're the same person at home that I meet here on Sunday? Like he talks about that, I think, in this next one. He said, you should know and take some comfort, in the knowledge that many use the pulpit ministry in the same manner. For they are certainly different people, different persons at home in their house than the person they show as they stand in the pulpit. By the way, Dave is not. I've been here 13 years, and I'll just tell you plainly, he's the same all the time. He was the same. I was there when his house was burning down. Was it February? It was really cold. I remember that. It was icy outside. The fire trucks were there, and I mean, they got the water on the house. And icicles are forming, even though it's burning. It was so cold. And Tim, you were there, right? Me, Brad, and we're sitting in Dave's truck. And you know what he's doing out there? He wanted to first off make sure we all had coffee. His house is burning. The firemen are—they're running around and hatchets and things and going. And he said, "You all got coffee?" Then he started telling cow jokes. That was the first time I heard the one. He says, you know what you call a cow that can't give milk? He said, that's a milk dud. Or otherwise known as an utter failure. And I'm looking, his house is burning down. And it's the same guy. It's the same pastor. But you know and I know that many are not like that. And the Lord is telling me at this time, hey, even though I try and be pretty much the same guy, I'm on a path, aren't you? Bernard, I'm not looking at you for any particular reason. You're just in the way. I was trying to retrace you. No, I'm teasing. And the only reason I can do that is because we love Reese so much. I got to read quicker here. We get in trouble, Andrew. He says, they cloak their failings behind the veil of ministry, and seldom, if ever, are the sheep given any glimpses behind that veil into their personal lives. Y'all know it's true. And the Father, now here's the thing. The Father is aware of this. The Lord Jesus Christ is aware of this. And it's according to the acceptable walk. However, it will never suffice to bring forth the perfect will of God in any true minister who desires to walk on the path of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. I have given you ample warning and prepared your heart to understand that the instructions that come from the mind of Christ do not come in the manner which you have supposed. His instructions always come in such a manner that they loose the Spirit of the living God to manifest the will of the earth, the will of the Father in the earth. Now get this next part. I have also instructed you that I am the Spirit of truth, and I only bring truth from His mind to yours. If the truth is rejected, I have nothing else to bring. Those that reject my truth, I bring it again, and I bring it again, and I bring it again. But if they continue to reject the truth, then they eventually become blind and deaf to the things revealed by the Spirit of truth. And by their own will, they blind themselves, and they become deaf to my voice. Then I can reveal the truth to them no longer. Be not as one of those. And I'm going to have to jump over a few things to get into the meat of what he wants to do here today. He reminds me of the first instruction, but he's about to give me the second major instruction of my life. This is, y'all realize this is 98. We were early first year, year and a half of really ministry and in real heavy training by the Holy Ghost. And the first instruction he had given me to minister by His power. How many of y'all remember? Anyone remember what the first instruction was? It's a test. Yes, who said that? He said, in fact, I'll just read it. It's right here. He said, the first instruction you received from His mind. He said, this is the most important thing in my life as a first instruction, was to put first priority on becoming continually aware of my presence with you. Then he rebukes me. He says, your diligence in this matter has been measured far below your diligence in the administration of the ministry. Plain English. Plain English. Rather than spend time becoming aware of His presence. Well, we need to send out. I need to help send out more tapes today. Man, we've got to get these mailings done. We're behind on this. We're behind on that. I know I should spend time being aware of your presence, but I'm going to go work on this instead. He's bringing the truth back around to me again. Okay? All right? Okay? Now I'm going to jump over a little bit here because we're coming to the second instruction. Today you are to receive the second instruction from the mind of Christ, which will release the power of the Spirit to manifest the will of the Father in your life. You have already, Gary, rejected this instruction twice. And even a third time this day. He's saying, three times I have rejected it. And he's right. He says, as I have attempted to paint the vision of the scourging post in your spirit. That day when I was in prayer, I would see a flash every now and then. How many of you have seen the Passion? By Mel Gibson, you remember that post there where they tied Jesus, where they lashed Him? You remember how it was short? About this high? In this vision, that's the way I saw it. I kept seeing it about belt high. And I'd see it and I'd reject it. It was stained with blood. It was empty. Nobody was there. But I saw it. I saw that post and I saw it was like iron chain with shackles and they were open. Okay? And blood stained. Blood, terrible. It looked a whole lot like. This was years before the movie came out, and I didn't know that. I mean, when I saw the movie, because I always the ones that I'd normally seen where they last somebody was usually a post as tall or taller than a man. And when I saw the one that they did in the Passion that was about belt high, it was just like the vision that I saw. I think Mel did good. But anyway, I'm in prayer. I'm trying to hear from God. I kept seeing this bloody looking thing, and he's right. I reject. Phew. I just get that, you know, and I pray again, kind of put it out of my mind. That's what he means. Third time, three times he'd done that. And he says, "Say not with your mouth that you know not what it is, for you do know what it is. It is the scourging post where Christ was lashed, where the whip was laid across his back, and where the blood flowed as he was scourged and his flesh was laid bare. See the scourging post again as I paint it once more in your spirit. Reject it not, says the Spirit of the Lord. You see how it is only belt high and that a man must kneel to be attached to it. You see the shackles of chains that are attached and hang from the post, yet notice that the shackles are unlocked and are empty. In the natural realm, men are shackled against their will to the scourging post to have the law of man imposed upon them. It is not so in the kingdom of God nor in the realm of the Spirit. I, the Holy Ghost, nor the Lord Jesus, nor your Father will force you against your will to shackle yourself to this post. In the kingdom of God, for those who would walk on the high path of the call of God in Christ Jesus, each man must choose to embrace the post of scourging of his own free will. Jesus could have called for 12 legions of angels to free him from the scourging post, but he chose to remain there. It is time for you to embrace the scourging post. Now, here he's going to start. I don't even know yet he's going to talk about fasting. I probably shouldn't have let you know that yet. Okay? I don't know yet what he's coming to. All I know is it's scary. Okay? And he says, it's time for you to embrace the scourging post. Well, what is it? What's the purpose of it? Where the things of the flesh which have hindered your walk greatly shall be removed forever. Now, you remember in the first part, he was saying, Gary, you're hiding behind a veil. You know, it's not like you're not ministering to the people you are, but see, tapes are pretty safe. I said, at the time, where were you living when you got that box of tapes, Andrew? Switzerland. You know, when they get a box of tapes in Switzerland from a man in America, he can listen to what's on the tapes. And where I was at church being real nice. But he's not allowed to follow me around and see if I yell at my kids. Or to see if I'm not always real nice to Sue. Or to see if just whatever. I mean, all you get is the tapes. And in a way, I'm hiding behind there. Say, this is me. Andrew, this is me. The tapes are me. Don't look at the real me. The tapes are me. And the Lord said, that's an acceptable walk. People do it in the pulpit all the time. But he's saying, where you want to go? You can't walk like that. You can't walk like that. Here we go again. Romans 8:14. Those that are... Let's change it just a little. Those that have been conquered by the new nature. Those who have yielded to the new nature. How do you want to put it? Those that have learned to be led by the new nature. Those are the ones who've come to maturity and are ready now to participate with the Holy Ghost in the family business. See? That's what he's talking about. He's saying, you can walk at this level, but you want to go farther, don't you, Gary? You want to go farther, don't you, prayer center?
Amen.
All right. Well, let me say it again. He said, the scourging post is where the things of the flesh, which have hindered your walk greatly, shall be removed forever. And I say again, forever, by the lash of the Spirit. You're not forced to embrace the scourging post, except if your hunger and your desire for the perfect will of God is sufficient to cause you to bow the knee and to embrace the post. The Spirit does not force you. The Son does not force you. The Father does not force you. Your own desire and hunger shall force you, if you desire the high path to which the Father has called you. Now get this. This is the Holy Spirit. Listen, gentle as a dove. Now watch this. If you run from the scourging post this day, none of y'all have ever run from it, have you? And it's not just fasting. I mean, he is going to talk to me about that, but he's really talking about with anything that we have in the flesh that the Spirit has been dealing with us on. We know we ought to deal with that thing, but yet we're not going to do the things that would deal with it. And I'm talking beyond your willpower. Some of the things that habits that I had at the time, I tried to quit 100 times. And I got pretty good willpower. Anybody knows me very well. Sue, if I got willpower, man, I'm like a bulldog. I get a hold of something, I'll die before you get it out of my mouth, you know. But there's some things that had whipped me for a long time and I couldn't get free. My willpower wasn't enough. It just beat me. And so he's talking to me here about the scourging post, things that will deal with the flesh like that. Okay? Well, he says, if you run from the scourging post this day, which I had before, he says, know that I shall go with you, and I'll continue to work with you in this acceptable will of God which you've chosen. But know this, your hunger will increase, and the day will come when you'll once again face the scourging post. And if you run again on that day, then know that I shall go with you, and I will continue to work with you in the acceptable will of God which you choose each time that you run from the scourging post. Plain English, he's going to use you where you are. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will send you another comforter who will abide with you forever. Okay? But understand again that the hunger will build within you. Be it today, be it next month, be it next year. Understand the day will come when your own hunger for the high call of God in Christ Jesus will force you to embrace the scourging post, your own hunger. You may choose to do so this day, for your hunger is great, says the Lord. And Christ is wanting you to know that he forces no man to the scourging post. But his love draws all men there who choose the Lamb as their first love. I've run from that thing so long. In a little while I find out it's fasting. I ran from it. I'd do a little bit. I joked about it. It's okay to some degree. I mean, it's called a fast, isn't it? Quick. I could finish a 4-day fast. I mean, 40-day. No, see, 4 days. I can't even say those words out of my mouth. I could finish a 40-day fast by lunchtime. Quick. Fast. Okay? I hated fasting. Now, I could pray till the cows come home. I pray from 9 in the morning till 9 at night sometimes, getting ready for a conference. Fasting? Oh, God, I would do it. Sometimes I'd make it past lunch. Sometimes I wouldn't. Sometimes I'd make it a whole day. Oh. I expected liquid anointing to flow right from heaven, you know, just pour out. Then I hear about Daisy, who would do like 2 40, you know, and she would never tell you, but 2 40-day fasts in a year, you know. And I'd go slinking back to my prayer closet with my tail between my legs and have a box of Krispy Kremes. Okay. It's okay to do this part. Let me explain to you how it happened. That I would run from it. I wouldn't do much fasting. I really wouldn't. Do a little bit. And then Dave would gently slice and dice us, you know, it's fasting season would come again with that wonderful humor. You know, it's the only guy I know that you can sit there and literally he'll just slice you and dice you to little bitty pieces and make you love it. And laugh about it. And about 3 days later you go, hey! He was kind of getting on me, you know, but he does it with such love and such humor you don't even realize it's happening, you know. But I never could consistently do it until that year that we went to pray for Lynn Perez's son up in New York. And he has a cerebral palsy. His picture's right here, if y'all want to see him. This is Tommy, second from the left. This is Tommy. At that time, he was 26 years old. His little legs are about as big as your wrist because he's never walked on them. But he knows you're there. He's very much alert. He was so happy. That day, Sue and I came. Aaron was with us that day in Long Island. Pastor Christie and his wife Linda went. And then, of course, Lynn is there and the daddy, Tom. And we didn't go there because we were expecting the boy not to get healed. We went there because we're expecting him to get healed. We're using all the faith that we have. Don't tell me, Aaron, Sue, myself, we're all turning ourselves inside out. We're milking everything, like Dave says, every cell in our body for faith. Get this boy delivered. We know it's the will of God. Tommy, I don't know how much he understood, but he sure knew we were there. He was so happy to have company. He can't talk. And he has buck teeth, real pronounced. He can't really kiss you because his teeth are too big. But he'll take your hand. The way he kisses you, he takes your hand and he touches it to his teeth. He did that with each one of us. Just so happy. Man, you want to see him come out of that chair so bad. We prayed. We did everything that we'd ever seen Dave do or anybody else do that ever had any results. Bottom line, went home, no change. Went back to the motel. I felt like a sheep eating dog. Every devil in hell descended on me saying, you're not a minister, you never were called of God, look at that. On and on and on, you know, discouragement. Just feel so bad you just want to quit. Go back to just do something else. And I remembered all those teachings we'd heard from Dave when the disciples tried to cast that epileptic spirit out of that lunatic boy. They couldn't do it, and they prayed with all the faith they had, and they'd already been casting out devils. Why couldn't we cast it out? Jesus says, because of your unbelief. And the bottom line is, he says, if you learn how to deal with this kind of unbelief, nothing will be impossible to you. Nothing. Howbeit, this kind. This kind of what? Devil? No, they'd already been casting out devils. This kind of unbelief, it only goes out through prayer and fasting. That night when we got back to the motel, I had one of those, what I call a close encounter of the God kind. And he said it to me this way. Now remember, I was a guy who would pray. Man, I'd been praying for years, but no fasting, hardly at all. And the Holy Ghost said, he quoted it to me just a little different way. He says, son, you're never going to be free of that kind of unbelief without the prayer. And you're never going to be free of that kind of unbelief without the fasting. And my flesh, all of this from the Scourging Post. And there's another one called Overcomers in This Age we may get to in the next week. All of this knowledge that I already had in my library came flooding back up into my mind. And I made a decision that day not to deal with my habits, not to deal with Gary. I wanted Tommy out of the chair. Well, I still couldn't do a long fast, but David taught us about serious fasting. When I say I couldn't, there wasn't enough in me to do it. I couldn't make myself do it. But I remembered that Dave had taught us you can start with series fasting. Y'all know what that is? Two days on, 2 days off, three days fasting, 3 days eating, 4 days. But the point is not do that once every 3 months like I had been. Here's my fasting for the first quarter. I'm going to fast 3 days in January. I'll do it again in July. That was not getting the job accomplished. So for that next year, I got real serious about series fasting. I mean, I left almost no time when I wasn't on. You know, I was either 2 or 3 days on, 2 or 3 days off, 4 days on, 4 days off. I just kept it up for a whole year. Fast forwarding, a year later in the same motel, I had another close encounter of the God kind. We were just on the cusp of leaving for our first overseas trip. Now, remember, I had my incentive, what finally got the hunger enough where I would do any kind of real fasting, was not my own personal problems, habits, faults, flaws, call them what you want, sin, call it what you want. And again, it's none of you. Because he's trying to help you right now, not me, okay? You got something. I'm not looking at anybody for any reason. I'm afraid for my eyes to fall anywhere. So anyway, had another close encounter of the God kind. And he starts dealing with me about something that made a curtain, something I was hiding behind. One of those faults I hadn't been able to get free from in 42 years. I'll just tell you, 42 years I'd had this thing. And I'd still kept it hid pretty good. But he just started, I had an actual vision of the Lord that day. Now remember, this is after 1 year of real steady, serious fasting. The Lord, that's the time He comes. He says, you know, you're fixing to go overseas. But if you don't deal with this, they're not going to listen to anything you have to say. He says, now, you can do what you want. You're doing a lot of work for me. When you come to heaven, you're going to have a good reward. But know this, if you don't deal with this, I'm going to have to draw back a curtain when you get here and show you what it was my will for you to do that you could not do because you never dealt with this part of the flesh. That was a long night. Part of me is going, I don't think I can stand that, Lord. I don't think I can stand for you to show me how I failed you. But Lord, I've tried to deal with this for many, many years. And I asked Elsa, you're going to have to help me. But that's not the key. Don't center in on that. I'd asked him to help me 100 times before and failed. But I said, well, I'm going to start again. Try again. The next day, day one. Everyone say, day one.
Day one.
I made it. One whole day. That was great news for about 2 minutes. Until it dawned on me. Oh, if I made it one day, that means I can probably make it two. That wasn't so great news. 3 days. 4 days. Now it's almost 3 years. But I'm telling you, that was a hard death. That was a hard death. Later on, about a year later, he told me I couldn't teach on it for a year, by the way. It was over a year before I ever even mentioned this. You know why? Because I would have got it wrong. It took almost a year for me to ask the right question. I said, how am I winning this thing? I have tried hundreds of times to do this before. And always the pressure would get too much and I'd always go back to it. How am I winning this time? He says, you totally forgot about that year of series fasting, didn't you? And I went, yeah, because I never connected it up with this because my whole motivation for doing that was more anointing to get people out of the wheelchair. But He knows we're not going to have revival till Jesus first conquers us. And He's going, that year you put just enough pressure on the flesh. It gave your spirit, just like Dave teaches, you know, praying in tongues, build your spirit. Here Gary had this ceiling for 42 years. And praying in tongues would bring me up to it, and I'd smack against that thing. I could not get above it. Couldn't for 42 years. Well, at that time, this was year 2003, so from 92, when we started here, till 2003, I'd been trying to deal with it for sure, and never could. But he says, in that year of fasting, brought the flesh just 1 degree lower, just enough, where finally now your spirit man has been winning for a year. Now it's been 3 years, getting close to 3 years. And I'm one step closer to that maturity level. See? Then there's been other things since then. Anyway, can you see why all of these things are important? So let me continue on here now, picking it back up. I wanted to show you how the application of it works. So let me read that one part again. Let's see. Oh, no. There's no time. He just said there's no time. So I can't read it again. I'm going to pick it up where I left off. Okay, get the tape. He says, you have asked for the Lamb's perfect will for your life. Let me stop right there. How many of you have asked that? Let me see your hands. You've asked for God's perfect will for your life. Me too. He said, the perfect will of God is represented by the words of Christ when He said, take up your cross and follow me. You have asked to know what your cross is that you may bear it. Understand that on the path to that cross, you first come to the scourging post. How many of y'all want His perfect will for your life? Okay, what He's saying, Marinelle, stand up for a moment. Let's just say where she's standing right there, that right there on your journey from where we are right now, if you can ever get there, that's God's perfect will. Your calling, your place in the body of Christ, 100% anointed by the Spirit of the living God to do what you've been called to do. You and the Holy Spirit perfectly co-laboring together. How many of you want to be right there? Me too. Trouble is, He says, for all of us, between there and where you are now, there's a scourging post. And there is no getting past it. There's no going around it. There's no dynamiting it and getting it out of your way. He said, there's no way to get there without first coming to the scourging post. Jesus said it this way, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and... Don't you wish the fasting part wasn't on there? So he says, you have asked to know what your cross is that you may bear it. Understand that on the path to that cross, your assignment, your perfect, His perfect will for you in the kingdom, you must first come to the scourging post. The scourging post is where all those things of the flesh must die before you will be able to take up your cross. Now get this. The scourging post is where man's aspirations die. The scourging post, you guys, is more than fasting alone. Later times, fasting. In the same way that you receiving, getting born again is God's perfect will. Receiving the Holy Ghost is the doorway to the supernatural. Have you noticed that? Have you ever noticed that people that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, they just have a bigger capacity to believe God for miraculous things than people that aren't? Fasting is the first entry level to the scourging post. There's more things beyond there.
Yeah.
Okay? But in the same way that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the door to the supernatural, fasting is the door to mortifying your flesh. Not just the physical flesh. Your aspirations, ambitions in you that do not coincide with His plans for your life, competitiveness in you that just so wants to be thought a little higher than somebody else. All of those things that are so un-Christ-like. Fasting is the door. It's the starting point. Okay? The scourging post is where all those things of the flesh must die before you'll be able to take up your cross. The scourging post is where man's aspirations die. The scourging post is where weakness of the flesh is purged. The scourging post is where your will dies completely and His will becomes yours. The scourging post is where what is known as, quote, man must bow the knee so those things of the flesh may be exposed by the lash of the Spirit to be purged by the blood of the Lamb. There is no avoiding the scourging post for those who would take up the cross assigned to them by the Lamb. I bring you the mind of Christ. The Son, this day, is asking you, not commanding you, will you, of your own free choice, embrace the scourging post? The Son asks you to look once more at the scourging post within your spirit. Now, what He meant that day was, look at that picture again. So, close your eyes. If you saw the movie, The Passion, see it. See that scourging post. See it empty, though, without Christ there. See the blood. Remember how much blood was there? He says, do you see the stain of blood that remains on the post from when He knelt there? Know and understand that as your flesh embraces the scourging post, the power in His blood is there already to cleanse you and purge you from all that is not the will of the Father. His blood has preceded you. His blood is waiting for you. And the power in His blood shall transform you. So then I began asking Him. I said, how do I embrace the scourging post? How do I do it, Lord? He said, that's the question that I hear from your spirit, and you've asked the right question. Now, these instructions that He's about to give me was for me. They wouldn't do it all for Daisy. Daisy's too far down the path. She has to follow the instructions for fasting that the Lord gives her. Now, these are the instructions that the Lord gave me. And if you're fairly new to this, you have to check with Him. This is why I tell people, read these things. They're mainly there, though, as a carrot to get you having your own face-to-face confrontations, or not confrontation, but time of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Don't ever confront the Holy Ghost. So I was asking Him, how do I embrace it? And He says, Beginning this day, you are to incorporate longer and longer periods of fasting into your life. That time has come. No veil of anonymity can be permitted on the path of the high call of God in Christ Jesus for your life. To walk in the Father's perfect will for you, my son, total exposure to the people shall be required. What they see in ministry must be what you are at home. Yes, sir. We're not going to be able to get into portions of this today. So let me head for a conclusion here. The scourging post is on the path for you if you desire to ever walk in His manifested glory. Manifested glory is the cross which the Father has assigned to you. Embrace the scourging post. The sooner you embrace the scourging post, the sooner the power of the Spirit is released to transform you more into the image of Him who begat you. Then He starts giving me real simple instructions here. I go, how do I do this? And He starts telling me, as a general pattern for me now, not you necessarily, but for me, one day on, one day off, 2 days on, 2 days off, 3 days on, 3 days off, and so forth. This is not a law unto you, but is given as a general pattern. Now get this. Make allowances for holidays, for meetings, and for special activities. For it is not the Father's desire to remove you from all fellowship with man. In another place, I don't think it's in this one, but in another time, He told me. He said, all of the things we do, you guys, meditation of the Word, prayer, fasting, everything we do is for the benefit of people, is it not? So He says, for example, I've known Andrew Bullions by email since 1999, roughly. Here it is, 2005. But we've never met personally, okay, till now. And suddenly, he was born in New Zealand, he lives in Belize, and he received my tapes in Switzerland. Can you tell we've had a hard time in meeting? Okay. But finally now, and for like 3 days, he's here. We get to have fellowship. This is not the time for me to be fasting. There's plenty of time to fast when Andrew's not here. We needed to go to Panera Bread, glory to God, hallelujah. And split a salad and some broccoli soup, hallelujah, you know, praise God. This thing's about people. Conference time, unless the Lord is getting out, there might be some intercessors. I don't want to make blanket rules, but as a general rule, that's not the time to be fasting. Leading up to that time is the time to be preparation, you know, fasting and prayer and getting ready. But that's ministry time. That's now you're ministering to the sheep, you know, and part of that is fellowship. They only get to come like once a year. They have to take their vacation to do it. And you're going to fast, you holy outfit, you? Take them out to eat somewhere and you pay for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let me finish up here. I think I've got 30 seconds or so. He says, I hear you saying, this does not sound like an easy yoke nor a light burden. Does he know me or what? I wasn't even saying anything. He already knows what I'm thinking. He said, that's only because you have not yet known the degree of hindrance that your flesh has imposed on the life of Christ within you. He said, it's hard to choose new wine and forsake the old when all you've ever tasted is the old. And at this point, you must trust me that the new wine is better, for it truly is. You will look back and say, truly, that was an easy yoke, and that was a light burden, for it allowed the Spirit of the living God to lift the weight of decades from off my shoulders. My health did spring forth speedily. My light did break forth as the morning. Righteousness went before me and led me in the way of the Lord. Truly, this was an easy yoke and a light burden from the Lord. It's time to embrace the scourging post.